So I think we've seen in the last talk that we can achieve quite a lot by using the file component to manage the contents of files. A large part of a system administrator's job on a day-to-day basis is probably down to managing the contents of files. I could throw wild figures about and say, 70%, 80%. I suspect it's something along those lines of the time. That's what you need to do. You need to configure some application, make some network services start working or whatever. And a lot of that is achievable just with the file component or any other similar mechanism. So many people will have something in place already which may be based on, say, managing all the files in Etsy using, say, a new Subversion or some revision control system. So something like that. So you're managing the contents of those files in some way. You may have a templating system. It may use something like, M4 or something equally horrible. But most people have got something like that in place, because as soon as you get beyond, sort of 10 or 20 machines, it's not possible to manage the change on those machines unless you've got lots and lots of administrators. So most people have probably got something like that in place. But what I hope we'll have seen in the last example of the previous talk was with OpenSSH, we changed the port at the end, but I hope you all notice is that the server was still listening on port 22. We changed the config file, but it was still listening on port 22, and the reason for that is that we needed to do a restart. And as our impromptu little problem in the middle there showed, the only way you can do that restart at the moment is to do a manual restart. So that's fine on 10 machines, but if you've got 100 machines, 1,000 machines, it starts to get much more of a management problem. Maybe you've got some really cool script that just goes out, it logs into all your machines in parallel, it runs it. It kind of starts to solve the problem, but then you've got to kind of gather back all that information. Did it restart properly? Is everything working? All that sort of there. And you really ended up back what Paul was saying is you end up with all sorts of little scripts are doing all these sort of little things, and there's management issues, and if one of the machines isn't online, then your script maybe just hangs and you have to deal with all these different problems. Really what you want to know is when that machine changes its configuration file, it can do it for itself. And that's what we're going to look at now. So, first question, and I've given you one of the answers. Don't look ahead yet. I want you all, can you give me some reasons? And these have already been said. Paul said these. Kenny has said these things. Why do we need to manage more than just configuration contents? Yes, we've done the restarting daemons. Can anybody suggest other reasons why you might need to configure to do more than just configure the file contents? Any? Yep, certainly that's one of the reasons, is that we actually want to manage the whole state of the system. We want to know, the only way we can be totally prescriptive about a thing is by knowing what's installed on the whole system. Most of that is managed through packages. So, other suggestions? Yep. Yeah. So you want to, I'm trying to think, you've got a sort of a dependency on getting maybe a template or something, some sort of source onto the system.
The mail alias would work like that. Don't you have to run some command to change mail alias?
Yeah. So, something like the mail alias is where you want to rebuild a database when things change. Some of the things are obvious, and we've sort of had the first two, but we also have a lot of other ones that come for free with LCFG and tools like it, which you may not immediately kind of think about when you're first thinking about managing a large set of systems. Your immediate things are, right, I've got to manage these configuration files. I've got to manage this as the packages. I need to restart these daemons. But then you can start going beyond that and thinking of the network as a whole, the system as a whole. And you can, and particularly, the one at the bottom is really, really important. That's manage relationships. You're not just managing a single machine, you're trying to manage the whole of the network infrastructure. If I move my SMTP server, I want all the client machines in my network to know that they need to send their mail somewhere else. And I should be able to do that with changing one resource. There should be a dependency sort of relationship there so that they know what's going on. It's that sort of issue here. Some of the other important ones, things like the ability to have an expert write a component that you can use as a black box. He publishes an API, which is the set of resources, and it configures itself, it restarts itself, it handles everything. You don't need to know that. So an experienced sysadmin who has no knowledge of a particular service can use and manage that service because the expert has written the tools to do it. The component can be treated in that sort of black box manner. Some of the other ones, LCFG has support for validating resources. It's not something we use a lot, but in particular it's things like sort of a very, very useful one is being able to say like a kind of Boolean value, yes, no, turn it on, turn it off. You can do this with strings, but we've seen this before. People make mistakes. You set a value or you mutate a value, and instead of setting it to yes, you end up with sort of like a string, which is like space, yes, space. And the system doesn't, it's not a true false value anymore. It's just a string that happens to have the word yes in the middle. So if you set it to true, false, or yes, no, it should know that that's what your intention is. So you've got a kind of validation of your resources so you can clarify, what did I intend to put here? Is this right? Is this wrong? If I set a MAC address, I want to know it's in the right format for a MAC address. That's something the system should tell me. So no, no, you've done that incorrectly. I don't want to have to find out when my DHCP server falls over because it's got the wrong data being fed to it. That's not, you know, we want the system to protect us from that sort of thing. We can also improve usability. You've seen how resources can be set. So I can devolve management of certain aspects of a network or a computer or whatever to other people, and I don't need to tell them, oh, well, the format for this configuration file is this, but in this one you're going to need to know M4. This one you're going to need to know some PAL or whatever. There is one method of setting resources. So my support office can change the MAC address. They can change, you know, various information. They don't need to know about the whole system. They don't need to know anything about the formats. I can devolve aspects, and it's just really simple. Component.resource, and they just need to know how to mutate some values. So these are really important reasons that aren't immediately obvious when you first start managing your systems, and yet it's the sort of thing that LCFG allows you to achieve. So what we're going to look at now is a few examples. I'm going to talk about some of them. Some of them are going to get you to do things. So the first one to mention, just, and I'm purely going to mention, just flip through some of these ones, is the client component. The client component is the key to it all. It's what manages what's going on your system. This is kind of a special component. It contains a daemon, and that daemon basically, in essence, is looking for changes to the profile. It may get a signal from the server that some changes have happened. It may be doing it anyway every sort of 10 minutes or whatever. And when it notices the changes, as we saw with the file component, it goes, oh, some resources have changed for that component. I'll call out to that component. And it just hands off the new resources and lets the component deal with it from there. So that's just really just to kind of get you to know it's there. I don't want to say a lot more than it. So what we're going to look at now is a very, very simple component which just manages the nsswitch.conf configuration file. I presume most people are reasonably familiar with something like this. So it just manages this one single file. And what we're going to do is try and get a feel for where bits of the infrastructure are and how it can be used. So on a server, and normally, these are a slightly interesting situation. We've got the server and the client on one machine. Normally they'd be on separate machines, but there is one, we call it a schema file, and then there are header files. The schema files are fairly easy to find. If you look in that directory, and then there is a set of files, one per component. And this will be, I think it's nsswitch-1.def. I think that's right. It's either -1 or -2. There's only one in there. And I'm not going to, Paul's going to go into this in more detail this afternoon. I'm just trying to familiarize yourself with where things are and what the different parts are at the moment. So the schema file says what resources are available in a component. So if you look at the NSS switch one, there's very little there. As I say, it's really, really simple. It could easily be done with the file component, but it's been separated out. So this is one, it's in there, and just have a quick look at it, really. Just to show you, you can't use resources that aren't in the schema file. They have to be there first. Now, along with this, there are some header files. This is the sort of terminology we use quite a lot, and we call them header files because they're pre-processed with CPP. And so in var lcfg conf server include, there is a directory called lcfg. Inside there, there's a directory called defaults, and in there, there's an nssswitch.h. Some things live in just in defaults, some live in options, some are there in both. There's a slight inconsistency there at the moment, and we're kind of aware of that one. It comes from the fact that we come from managing the whole system, so it was designed in that respect. But this is just the sort of where those two bits live. And they would normally live on your server, and only on the server. So on the client, there is a component script in user lib lcfg components. This is the agent bit of code that gets called by the client when it notices some changed resources. So it goes off and goes, oh, the NSS switch resources have changed, I'll call the NSS switch script. And if you look at that script, it's just a little bit of shell. There's very little in there. Again, we'll go through it in detail this afternoon how they actually work. If a component was shipping templates, by default it puts them in userlib lcfg conf, and then it's usually a directory per component. There aren't any for NSS switch, but some components do, and that's where they normally land. That's not to say all of them are in there, but most of them are. We've already seen where log files end up. So every component that's running will have a log file, and it's just the name of the component that's running. And the final thing to say is nearly every component has a man page. If you try something like that now, man lcfg-client or man lcfg-nsswitch, nsswitch, they will normally be fairly detailed in sort of, it will tell you what all the resources are, how you can set them, how you can use them, any sort of particularly useful information. So that's a good place to know to go if you're wanting to use a component for the first time, and just run man, as long as you've got the package installed, of course. Okay, so there's a useful little tool for examining what's on my system at the moment. You know, what does the system know about? And it's something called qxprof. Now, if you just run the command qxprof and then a component name, say client, so qxprof space client, and if everybody runs that, you'll get a set of resources, and it'll tell you all the resources that are set for that component. Does everyone see that? Okay, so that's a really good way of examining the system, how it's running at the moment. So that's what is actually, according to the client, what has been set. To note in particular, there's a couple of really useful options. Dash V. If you want to know, you've got some setting, you can see the value of a setting, but you don't, oh, where did I set that? Maybe it's been mutated, whatever. Dash V will give you a full derivation of where it's been specified in the headers, so you can then go and trace back and see where things have been set, and you can sort of start to work out what's going on. And dash A, normally QXProf doesn't show anything that's not set, any values that haven't been set, so dash A will just show you everything, so you can go, oh yeah, actually that hasn't been set so far. So that's quite a useful one. One thing, there's a particularly sort of special kind of component called profile. If you do qxprof space profile, profile doesn't really have any code or anything associated with it. It's something that the server generates, basically, I think is the best thing to say about it. And it contains specific information about that client. We saw before in the message of the day example, the profile.node. That's the sort of thing that's in there. And that's just got specific information. One thing to look at in there is profile.components. If you look at the value for that, that's the list of components that the client currently thinks are basically in the profile. So it's anything that it's managing at the moment. So there should be client, server, and I think that's about, and file in there. So at the moment it's managing, the client will note any changes to resources associated with the client, the server, or the file will get triggered off. It doesn't know about anything else. So If we now use this and look at NSS switch, so if you want to, well, we've kind of looked at those examples already. If we now do a QXProf NS switch, we should see there's nothing there. It's definitely, you know, that this is not currently part of my system. It's also worth looking at the etc/nsswitch.conf. That should be the original file. If it isn't, then shoot me. I've done it wrong again. There is a .org file there as well. Okay, so that's just it should be the original file. So what we're now going to do is add this component into the profile. So as before, we're going to copy, but this time it's going to be in /root/workshop/part2. But if you just take, we'll just take the, so example 2a, so it's /root/workshop/part2. Just take the example 2a and put it into var lcfg conf server source localhost. So just as we were doing before, if you need a reminder of where the paths are, it's in Kenny's notes from before. Copy that in. When you've done that, run qxprof ns switch again, and within a few seconds it should appear, and you know everything should be, you should now have that in your profile.components list, should now be showing ns switch. So the client now knows that's there. But hopefully, nothing's changed with your etc/nsswitch.conf. It should be exactly as it was before. You know, view it, check it. It shouldn't have changed its timestamp or anything. And that's because the client hasn't been started. This is a big concept here. There's a sort of, this client is not managing any daemons. It's not restarting anything. But the component needs to be started itself. This is separate. Some components do manage daemons, and when they're started, they start a daemon. When they're stopped, they stop a daemon, etc. But if a component's not started, it's not managing any files, it's not doing anything. And for this, we use a tool called OM. And you will need to do this as root, I believe. I don't think you can do this as a normal user, but there is an authorization system that you can use to allow users to do to control certain components and things. But for now, we're looking at just doing this. OM NS switch start, view the config file again, and you should now see that it has changed. At least the date stamp should have changed, if nothing else. So this component is now managing the file, as we hoped. If you look at the profile, what you will see is that I've added one thing at the bottom of the original profile, and that's that I've included LCFG defaults nsswitch.h. So I've just included one header file, and that's added the profile, done all the work, and then I just started the component. In a fully managed environment, we have a boot component which manages all the components and starts and stops them at boot time and at shutdown time. In this environment, we have a hacky little script which is doing the work for us. It's just a really little thing. We have to do it by hand. Okay, so let's just do a quick example. Do a getent password on root, you should get something returned. If you do a getent password on sqnny, which is me, you should hopefully get nothing. I hope. So, we want to say, right, all my authorization data is in LDAP, so let's make the NS system actually use LDAP. So, we need to modify some resources related to this. So, if you now copy an example 2b into localhost, and then watch the changes in the server, the client, and if you like the NS switch logs as well, so that's in var lcfg log, you should see the changes all flow through. If you then view the nsswitch.conf, you should see the change. So LDAP should now appear on two lines, on the groups line and on the password line. So give me a shout when you're there, when you've got LDAP appeared in your config. Yep. So what I've done is I've mutated a couple of resources that were already set up. So these resources were already in your profile before, and that's mods group and mods passwords. This is the modules that we're going to use when we do these two lookups. and I've done M extra for these two because I just want to append them to the end. There's an ordering issue here with NS switch. You know, you want to say what order things. So I've used M extra to put it at the end. Just different ways of mutating the values. And you should now, if you do get n password sqnny, you should now get some results returned. So that was a quick run through of how you can manage a file with a component. Now, I want to bring in a bit more, which is some looking at some system status. This is another component we're going to look at, another special component, and I just want to pull in some of the sort of system information you can get from here. Now, if you're running Firefox, you should have a bookmark on your toolbar called LCFG server. If not, just type http://localhost, and up should come a page with a couple of links on it. This is a standard part of the LCFG server, and it allows you to view system status. And if you were wondering what that inventory source profile was alongside your localhost one before, that's there to generate some extra information. I'm not going to talk about that, but that's just there to give you some extra information. If you're all sort of viewing that, you should see there's a couple of profiles listed in the on the page there, one for localhost and one for inventory. If you click on the one for localhost, you get some information about what's running. But that's not, it doesn't give us access to everything we want. We want to turn something on the client, which allows us to query information on the client itself. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to add log server, which will give us the ability to view the log files, various documentation, and various resources. So if people get on, and that's the next bit, is we copy in example 3. Again, you can sort of go through all this. You can look at how the server logs, the client logs change. You can see how various things have appeared. And again, nothing will actually happen until you've started the component. So the idea is we're going to now start this component, and it's actually, this time, this one actually comes with its own little daemon. It's just a Perl script. So you can see when it started, if you do a ps and grep out log server, you'll now see that there's a log server running. This is what we use in DICE, in our informatics infrastructure, is we run this on every single client. This gives us the ability to query the state of the clients from one kind of central point. So once you've done that, if you go to the status pages again, and you probably have to reload a couple of times, but eventually you'll come up and you'll see with a list of components, you should have some log files, resource settings, that sort of thing, all available. So, yep. So you can now view log files, get all your information out. So the information you're getting once you go through the resource links and the status links on the each component is coming from the client itself. It's not what the server thinks, it's what the client thinks. So you're actually querying this daemon that's running on the client. So I know somebody asked that question earlier on about how can you find information about what's running on the clients, and this is one way of doing it. There's nothing stopping people developing other systems or whatever, but this is one way of getting back those logs without having to log into all those machines. You can just go through the web interface. And so this is just a different example of why you might want to run a separate component, is this idea that I need something that's going to start up a daemon and serve up some information to me, but it needs to be aware of these resources and everything. Now, you could do it other ways. You could manage a config file, and then you could have start and stop methods and that, but it's beyond just simply managing a file. You need to be able to manage a whole running process and all that entails. So I've now added in, as well as the NS switch there, I've added in log server, and I've also added inf.h. That's the inventory header. So I'm not going to talk about that, but it gives you more information on those pages than you would otherwise get. So It's basically that those web pages are aggregating information from the server, information from the inventory, and information from the log server, which is running on the client. And there's a certain amount of caching goes on, so every time you hit the pages, the server is caching a certain amount of stuff. So you don't always see all the changes straight away. Just going to run and say a quick few words about some of the other examples. I'm not going to no sort of work bit here, just to say why else you might want to run a separate component. With the X3 component, we want to manage the X server, but we don't actually always know what monitors are attached to what machines. We don't always know what graphics cards are in each machine. Now, we could have specified everything about all our hardware in our source profile, and the component allows you to do that if you know it. But in general, it's just our hardware is too diverse. So we want the system to actually detect the values for us. We want it to do some of the hard work. So we can set a couple of resources to automatic, and the component, when it gets the new resources, it will also go away, detect the monitor, detect the graphics card, and it merges all that together before it applies to a template. So it's the sort of thing you want the system to save you having to do work wherever possible. And this is one really, really useful way in which, you know, your local expert on whatever application can use the bits of auto detection which are there. He doesn't have to throw them away. You can merge everything in. You don't want to take it too far, because you probably end up back to these hacky little scripts that we're trying to avoid, but there's certainly a point where you want to be using that. This is how you manage packages. I'm not going to say anything about this. It's going to get mentioned a bit this afternoon, except to say there is a special resource called profile.packages. It's not populated on these systems, but that's what you would use. And you can have any package manager you want with any component managing, just reading this out and working with it. I said before how important it is to manage relationships on a network. This is one of the ways in which we do it on our system. We specify the MAC address in the client source profile, and all that gets propagated through to the DHCP server. So the DHCP server automatically gets fed the MAC address, and then it gets the name, which it can do a DNS lookup on. All this information is fed into the profile for the DHCP server. And we actually have about 3 or 4 different DHCP servers, and they all feed their way into the right profile for the right DHCP server, depending on what sort of zone it's in, basically what VLANs it's attached to. This is way beyond what we can really talk about here today. It's a bit more complex, but just to be aware that this is the sort of thing that can be done with LCFG very easily, is that you specify it in the client where you need it. You can do the same thing with like a firewall. In your client source profile, you go, well, this client needs access to the outside world for, say, HTTP. That information gets fed into the firewall profile. The firewall then gets reconfigured automatically. So you don't have to know, you don't have to have this enormous big file which lists all your firewall holes, and you don't have to maintain all that. You just maintain it in the source profiles for the specific machines. So this is what I sort of wanted to get back to, which I sort of quickly dashed through the other bits, was to look again at the problem that we had before, at the very beginning, which is OpenSSH. And the idea was that we want to manage there's actually two files in there, and we're only really interested in managing one of them here, and that's the SSHD_config file for the running daemon. The other one's for the client, and we don't really mind about that, except to note that the OpenSSH component does manage both files. We're only really interested in the one for the daemon. So the problem we saw before was that, as I said before, was that once the file was reconfigured, nothing restarted the daemon. We need something to actually then go in and say, right, this file contents has changed, now please restart me. So that's what we need to do next. So if we do the next stage, which is that we copy in example 7A into the localhost, what we should notice straight away is that nothing's changed as before. We haven't started any components yet, we've just purely added them to the profile. Before you do actually start them, it's worth looking at the status pages, and what you should notice is that there's a little cross against the OpenSSH component, which shows that it isn't actually started. So this is information being fed back from the client. It gets cached, so you normally have to refresh it a couple of times. But you should notice that the status pages are telling you that although this component's in the profile, it has not been started. All the codes for the different colors and symbols and that are detailed in the help pages somewhere. So you should be able to see that all there in your web browser. If you do that, once you've done that, if you actually just start up the component, and this will then go and should change those two config files. Now, because there was already an SSH daemon running, when you start the component, it doesn't start another one. It just leaves the one that was running already there. So you'd have to stop the... it's kind of an interesting point is that we don't normally on our system just sort of add these sort of components in like this. We would normally be managing the system as a whole, so everything would say would get started at boot time by LCFG components, would get stopped at shutdown by LCFG components. So it doesn't quite deal with the fact that there's already one running. It just kind of says, oh, that's fine by me. So again, try stop and start. There is also a restart method, which you can use. Again, all this is manual, and all of this can be set. Authorization can be set up so that you can allow certain people to control certain components. Once you've stopped and started, if you use PS, and you should be able to see that the things actually is changing. So again, what I've done is I've added one header file to the end of this list, and that's what's added the components in. If you're sitting there and you're running out of things to do, you can look at these header files and see what they do. Basically, they're adding it themselves to the list of components. Sometimes they add packages in, sometimes they're just setting some basic resources. The sort of idea is that the defaults ones just set some basic default values which are going to be appropriate for most people, and then you would go and mutate them. So you would sort of set them up for your system. So if we now look back to the original example, and if everybody would first do a SSH to localhost, it's probably still running on 222 at the moment, isn't it? So you might want to, as a work example, you might want to, after copying that source profile in, you might want to change the value back to 22. That might be a useful little exercise for people. Is to copy the profile in example 7b into localhost and then edit that file. Because otherwise it's still running on 22. Yes, actually probably did, yes. Yeah, it actually will have overwritten the original file, yeah. So no, you're fine. So if you basically go through what we were doing in the earlier one, which is, you know, SSH to localhost, check it's on port 22, do your change, check it's on 222, and generally, you know, the idea is really to get a feel for how these things are changing. So, you know, make sure you're looking at the server logs. Make sure you're looking at the client log. Make sure you're looking at the OpenSSH log. This is the sort of thing, I mean, most of us sit and sort of watch the server log all day. You know, it's better than work, you know. You can sort of see these things flowing by. and sort of see what's coming up with your system. And I say normally what we do is we kind of control the way our changes go out, so they don't all just sort of flow out constantly. We tend to do them in sort of batches. So this is a slightly different approach to where we would do it, but you can see that basically how this, you can extrapolate from this up to a system where, you know, I'm changing the OpenSSH daemon on all my services and they're all restarting. One thing to note is this isn't actually something that's built in to LCFG, so when you get like a changed resource and it configures the component, it doesn't automatically restart the component. You actually have to go in and, so if you look at like the OpenSSH script, it will do the file changed, now I'll call my restart. So it's actually doing it. So the component author has had to say this component needs restarting after it's been configured. So this is where the author, you know, our local OpenSSH expert has said, this is what I'm, you know, this is how it's going to operate. Some daemons don't. Some daemons get, you know, fired off every time a connection comes in and they just pick up the new config file and it doesn't matter. So you don't want it to always be restarting things when it's unnecessary. It's about your expert knowing when to do these things. So I hope sort of everybody's been, you know, listening to what I'm saying and can now tell me, you know, why you want to manage this more than just the file component. That's the hope anyway. So what we've done here is this is a fairly simple way of doing the resources, is we've just added a extra tag which is a port tag, and we've specified a value. So we've mutated this one. Now mAdd just adds it to a list. If the port tag was already there, it wouldn't add it again. It's a set. So the various different mutation operators work differently, and this is just setting some value. Now this isn't possibly the best way to do it in terms of validation. I'm sure you could all see that from what I've been saying, I can put any string I like here. This isn't actually being validated at all because I'm adding these tags kind of on the fly. So, you know, I could put foo bar here and it would happily put foo bar in the config file. And that would be, you know, a bad thing. My SSH daemon is not going to restart with that. So some components, you could specify a resource for every possible configuration option that went into the configuration file. So, you know, there's probably like 30 different options I could put into my SSHD config file, and I could have a resource for each one, and I could have a validation method for each one that says this must be a number, this is a boolean, this is a string, but it can only contain these values. So we could sort of, you know, develop this component some more in a way. Some components are done that way. This is quite a simple approach and is quite a flexible one, and it's a sort of step up from the file component that we were looking at before. And it's managing these config files, but it's also managing the change. It's saying that config file changed. The thing to note is that if I changed an option that only changed the SSH config, so not the SSHD config, but the SSH config, which this component also manages, it wouldn't restart the daemon because it's only changing the client's file. So it notices which template has changed, and it only restarts the daemon when the daemon's config file changes. So it's not related to the resources, it's related to how the component author has decided that the thing has to work. And that's kind of critical, is that you're saying, this is how it's meant to manage change. This is how it's meant to do what it's meant to do. So this is exactly the list I had before, and that's really the thing there, is that's what we're trying to achieve. And that's the aim. As I pointed out, there are, you know, possible shortcomings with the OpenSSH component. You know, we could have a complete list of resources in our default, in our schema file, and set sensible defaults for them all, build the configuration file and allow people to work with everything like that. It really depends on what you're aiming for. This is quite a flexible way, and it means if a new option appears, we don't have to change the schema, and then rework everything. So It's just sort of about working out how you want to approach the problem. So that's actually gone quicker than I thought it would. But hopefully people have got some questions now about anything you've heard all morning. I'm sure people have got something. There must be something you don't understand.
Can I just make a comment, Steve?
Sure.
It kind of reminded me on something that didn't that hasn't come up, that if you're writing a component, really, you have this range of options. For example, if you were trying to have a component that managed Apache or something, you could write this component so that all the Apache, every Apache configuration variable was settable from the component, and you would have this massive profile, and you'd have this very complicated thing. But you probably don't want to do that. You want to try and aim for your site, is that you want to have the things in the profile as variables that are liable to change within your site. So if the thing is, if there are a whole bunch of variables that never change and are always the same for all your machines, then they may as well just be shipped as some static sort of template. So, in fact, you get this kind of range of options when you're creating a component. If everything's the same and nothing on your site, you may as well just ship a static configuration file and you don't need to configure it. If you only change one or two sort of small values are different across your site, then you would ship a template file with all the constant bits in and just have a couple of slots for those things that change. So the profile really is just managing the bits that vary across your site. So you're managing the minimum amount of information that you need to get the variety that you need within your site. Yeah. And you get the kind of choices to where you kind of pick that point.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to focus on with the openness sake, is what do you want to manage? I think a large part of writing a component is working out what you want to manage. It's not actually the code. It's as Kenny says, you spend 2 days thinking about what do I want to manage and how do I want to manage it. You can then sit down and write the component, but it's like anything. It's the time spent up front in working out how it's going to work is, before you deploy it, is time well spent.
There's also a question of the level that you want to manage the information at. In many cases, the LCFG resources could be mapped, the component might map those LCFG resources very closely onto configuration file entries, so that the level of the LCFG resources is very similar to the what's in the configuration file. And at another approach is that the LCFG component might do quite a bit of work, and it might use your resources as quite high level things, so that the component computes the details from something higher level that you've set. And one example of that is the auto in the X component that you were talking about. If I specify auto in the resources, then the component will do quite a bit of work using that auto to work out the details of the configuration file. So you have a choice of whether you just map things straight across or whether the component does quite a bit of translation there. Yeah.
Think it is.
In that case, are your components not very site specific then? Because my site might require a lot of details that can keep in my Apache configuration site file, while your site might require less details.
Yes, so the way that you might approach this is you might find that the difference is not in the component, but actually in the template that you're using. Because if you write the component in a kind of generic way, as I think the example Stephen was showing there, where you have a kind of open-ended list of values in your resources, then you can write a new template that has some slots in it, and you can add some extra values to that list without rewriting the component. But of course, if you start to do that a lot, then it becomes quite difficult to understand, because it's just this big list of nameless things that you can't really validate, And you might find that you want to write a special component for your site, So I think that there's what's around are quite generic things that we've written for our site and other people have written for their sites, and you can kind of use them. But if you find that in your site that I really have a lot of variety in this, and I really need something special for this, then there's nothing to stop you by, taking a new version of that component and using it instead, So it needs to be flexible.
If you're done, just click in. Click done.
Yeah.
There's all LCFG